Hi everyone, welcome back. Today we are going to be talking about genre on our Doorway to Discovery podcast for the Whitby Public Library. My name is Erin and my pronouns are she, her.
My name is Kate and my pronouns are she, her as well.
Hi everyone, my name is Kylie and my pronouns are also she, her.
Hi everybody, I'm Shelby and my pronouns are also she, her.
So I'm going to start us off. So one of the things that we talk about as a group a lot, and one of the things that comes up a lot in questions at the library is what genre should I read? And, you know, what does that mean? So we all decided to spin a wheel and give ourselves a different genre for a book to read. And I got fantasy. So the book I'm going to be talking to you about today is called The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. And it's in my opinion, it definitely classifies as fantasy, but I think it would be a really good intro to fantasy book if that's something you just sort of want to dip your toe in the water of, because you've got a really great historical aspect to this book, as well as a bit of contemporary, which sort of means like present day. So the story of Addie LaRue is really interesting. So it follows Addie in, I think, like late 1800s originally, and her family is about to marry her off. So one of the things that she does with her family is she prays to the gods, and her grandmother always tells her that whoever she's going to pray to, it needs to be during the day, because she don't pray to anybody at night. Those are not gods that you want to talk to. And Addie decides that she wants to have control over her own life and make her own decisions. She doesn't want to be married off. She wants to be a strong, independent woman like we all do. So she runs away from her wedding praying for her freedom, and accidentally prays to the gods at night because the sun sets. So that's the first little bit, and then all of a sudden we're about 400 years later, because the gods answer her prayers, but they interpret her prayers in a way they want to. So they give her the freedom to make her own choices and to do what she pleases and go where she wants, but nobody will ever remember her. So essentially she's invisible. So she can meet as many people as she wants throughout her now immortal life, but she'll never be able to put down roots. She'll never be able to make any relationships, and she will always be quote unquote free. So that is kind of the beginning of Addie LaRue. But the big question of this book is, what happens when she meets somebody one day who actually remembers her? So I loved this book. It was fantastic. It had a really nice fantasy aspect, but like I mentioned before, it had a little bit of everything. It was beautiful. It made me laugh. It made me cry. And I definitely recommend this one, which you can get at the library.
So my genre that I picked this time, I got crime as my genre. And so I decided to extrapolate from that a little bit. And I chose the book When No One Is Watching by Alyssa Cole. And so this, it's more of a thriller than a crime. It has been described as a cross between Rear Window, the Alfred Hitchcock movie, and Get Out, the Jordan Peele movie. And I think that's a really good description. It's exactly that. It's like, it reads like a slow moving Alfred Hitchcock type thriller. It's really cool. It's takes the time to introduce all the characters and everything. And it's a very slow burn thriller. So if you're a person that's in favor of like a really fast-paced book, I wouldn't say that this is the one for you, but if you like one that's more like plotting, intricate, it's really good. And so the story of this is it follows two characters. It's Theo and Sydney, and they are two residents of Brooklyn, New York, and their neighborhood in Brooklyn is rapidly gentrifying. So Sydney is a Black resident of the neighborhood, and she is seeing white families and white people move into her neighborhood. And Theo, the other main character, is one of those people that moves into the neighborhood. But as the book goes along, you realize it's not actually coincidence that their neighborhood is being gentrified and that there are more nefarious things going on. So it's really, really, it's a great, like, allegorical thriller. It's awesome. It's it does a really, really good job of staying entertaining and staying, you know, relevant and funny, while also getting quite serious and discussing really serious issues, social justice issues in that are being faced every day. So it's a really, really great read. I loved it. I know a lot of people found it a bit too slow. So again, if you go for a thriller because you want nonstop action, this is not the one for you. I think it would really appeal to most people that like general fiction. It's got some great romance in it. It kind of defies genre boundaries quite a bit. So it's really, really good.
I keep seeing it a lot too, like yeah. That cover, because it's new, right? Did it come out in 2020 or 2021?
Yes, it came out in 2020, and I've been on hold for it since 2020 as well. it was definitely worth the wait. But yeah, because Alyssa Cole, she does a whole bunch of romance novels. That's yeah. What, and she did that one that I discussed a few episodes ago.
The Hamilton one, right?
The Hamilton one, which was so good.
Yeah.
By the way.
But there's something to be said, Kate, for like a slow burn mystery, because I feel like you mm-hmm. don't get enough love, right? Because like mm-hmm. a good thriller, like edge of your seat thriller, is fantastic, mm-hmm. but a slow burn, like that's almost, it's almost like it's proof of the author's like ability as a writer to mm-hmm. be able to put these little puzzle pieces like into play throughout mm-hmm. the novel. And I almost like, I have a higher appreciation for those types mm-hmm. of things. I was like, I see what you did there.
mm-hmm. yeah. And she has a great ability to keep it entertaining while she's introducing these things, right? Like, yeah. So you're still invested, and it's like a page turner, even though not really much is happening. So it's really good.
Yeah. Another writer.
Puzzle pieces.
I love puzzle pieces. Another writer who does that really, really well is Megan Miranda. She writes incredible mystery novels, but again, they're like, I always tell people if I recommend them, I was like, this is not edge of your seat. Mm-hmm. This is like that slow build tension that you feel in your chest. You know something's going to happen, but you're not quite sure what's going on. But it's so much better that way.
Mm-hmm. You don't want to know what's going on, right?
No, like, I want, yeah.
I shouldn't be able to guess who the bad guy is halfway through the book. Like, and that kind of reminds me of Knives Out. Like Knives Out, like it's not, definitely not like a slow burn, but you have no idea where it's going. Like I watched it again on Monday. So good. So good. Oh my gosh. You have that at the library on DVD. So if you haven't seen it, please check it out, because it was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, plus Chris Evans in a cable knit sweater.
Yes. And Daniel Craig in a pink Texan accent. Yeah. Like, come on.
Come on.
Yeah. That's the thing. Like, it's almost like proof of it. I have more respect if somebody can build a story like that and a mystery like that and keep me going, even though not much is happening.
Yeah.
In a way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Do you have a Megan Miranda title to recommend?
Oh,
because I would love to read.
No, I read everything, and she's amazing. Okay. She's actually done a few young adult novels too that are quite good. Mm. But one of my favorite ones by her, and I think it's actually the best example of her ability, is a book called All the Missing Girls.
Mm.
And it's told in a really cool way. It's actually told kind of backwards. So your first chapter is, it's set over like a 14-day period. So your first chapter is day 14. And she does this thing that you don't see in novels a lot, is at the very beginning, you find out the end.
Mm. Oh, what?
So you know what happened. You know who's died. You know all of these things. But what you don't know are all of the things that led up to the final chapter. And then cool. So you get day 14, you get day 13, you get day 12. So you still have all these questions, and you have questions but only answers. So I really liked how she did that, because it's not something you see a lot in how stories are told. So I think that's like the best example of just, you know, the really interesting and cool way that she can weave a story. And I was still shocked. Like, I still did not see the ending coming. It was still told beautifully. But All the Missing Girls, yeah, that's one of my favorites by her. But also everything else that she's written.
I will get on that.
Perfect. Let me know what you think.
Okay, Kylie, what did you read?
I will go. So I read The Last Story of Mina Lee. So this one I got general fiction, contemporary general fiction. So this one actually kind of does, it's general fiction, but it kind of has a little bit of a mystery to it, has a little bit of a historical fiction aspect too. So essentially the story opens with Margot, Mina's daughter. She lives in Seattle, and her mother lives in California. And basically her mother hasn't been answering her calls for about 2 weeks. And Margot's on her way to California with a friend, and they're gonna stop in to visit her mom. When they get there, her mom is dead. And yeah, it's, that's also no spoilers. That's the very beginning of the book. It's in the blurb. So basically Margot is trying to figure out what happened and why her mom is suddenly dead. She's not sure if it was an accident. She's not sure if it was possibly suspicious. She starts meeting the landlord of the apartment building, who seems a little bit not suspicious, but he doesn't seem to be telling the truth about some things that were happening. And the police get involved, and she starts meeting her mom's friends, who also seem to have some secrets about her mom. So she starts kind of diving into whatever record she can find of her mom. And while that's happening, the chapters will flip back and forth between Margot in the present day and Mina in, I believe it starts in the 1970s. I might be wrong with the timeline. But essentially it starts with Mina at around age 40 when she immigrates to the United States from Korea, and kind of talks about her past that she's leaving behind, but doesn't tell you too much about it. So there's a lot of mystery about Mina that both like you are trying to figure out in her own chapters, and now Margot's trying to figure out. So yeah, there's a lot of good mystery there. There's some romance. It's really sad. I knew it was going to be sad because I knew that even when we're in Mina's chapters, like, you know that she's dead now. And it was good. It was really good. There were a lot of, not cliffhangers, but a lot of chapters that would end with like kind of a, ooh, something's going to happen. And then it would flip right back to the other person's perspective for like four chapters.
I hate slash love those.
Classic. It's classic storytelling. But yeah, it was really, really great story. A lot of, just a lot of good emotion to it. Yeah, it was really, really good.
So if you need a good cry, like if you really want to feel something, you would suggest.
Yeah, it was sad. Yeah, Mina, I mean, she was orphaned and then she had some tragic family issues that led to her immigrating to the United States. And then, yeah, a lot of feelings, but it was really good. And if you're into the general fiction, if you're into the mystery, if you're into the historical, kind of appeals to everyone. So
yeah,
nice thing about these like kind of genre crossover books.
Yeah.
It hits a lot of different audiences.
And I love that it's the 70s, because like I feel like a lot of times like when you get a flip, like you don't always get like a period like that. And I think there's something so magical about going back to like the 70s and the 80s and like playing around like in that time period and then coming forward too. Like, I don't know. I love that time period.
It was cool too, because it goes back to the 70s and then you're following. So Margot's storyline stays in, I think it's 2014. Stays in 2014, but Mina's, it goes all the way up to a few weeks before she dies. Okay. So it's really cool. Like it's kind of following her entire life from her like mid-40s to the end. It's quite cool.
There's something to be said for that though. I think Shelby makes a really good point, because like every time someone asks for historical fiction, like my mind immediately is like World War II. Like everything just seems to be World War II fiction. Mm-hmm. And there's like things like, you know, Daisy Jones and the Six, right?
Yes.
Oh, Daisy Jones, my gosh, that book. I love that book. You can get that at the local library too.
We have a book set too.
Historical fiction, but it's in the 70s, and it's just such a cool time for you to read about, because I feel like a lot of people don't immediately think about that when they think historical fiction. There's just so much of a saturated market for like war fiction, even World War II, World War I, but there's not enough, like, you know, hey, more recent, like 40, 50 years ago. So,
yeah. Well, even that, like, when you think about it, like, we're continuing to get older and get further into the 21st century, and the 70s
dare you is remind getting me
further and further away. Like, the people who are writing these books are like, well, why does anybody want to, like, read about this? And it's like, well, we didn't live through the 70s. Like, no. This is the only time that we get to, like, really interact with what you think the 70s was and, like, how to write it. And, like, you still get, like, the 50s every once in a while, but, like, I feel like the 70s is just such, like, a, like in the 80s too, like the music scene, like all of that just makes
a lot of change. Like a
rich like a lot of like political movements going on at the time too. Like there's so much to do like within that genre, plus like I love, okay, this is not books, it's TV shows, but anytime like you see visually costuming, like it's just so good.
Did anybody here read Ready Player One by Ernest Cline? Oh my gosh. Okay, so if you want an 80s, it's that book is classified, and this is a also valid when we were talking about like cross genres. The book is technically classified as sci-fi, but it's very much like an homage to the 80s as well. So are all these like 80s references with like music and video games, and so you kind of get that like super 80s vibe from the book too. So I think like that's valid, like you don't see a lot of that.
And it's and Ready like, Player I, 2 I was, just came out too.
Ready Player 2. Yeah, like I was born in the 90s. I'm a 1990 girl, but I still kind of like right at the cusp there, like that stuff still seems sort of familiar because it was still sort of on TV too when I was a kid. So it's like, oh, it's kind of like nostalgic, and you're still learning about something you weren't there for, but you can still kind of vibe with it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and it's the cool thing too, a lot of authors are now starting to write historical fiction about the 90s.
Yes.
How dare you?
I've seen quite a few authors on Twitter talking about how their new book is like set in the 90s, and they're like, this is technically historical fiction now. I'm like, wow.
Yeah. Look at Captain Marvel.
Captain Marvel. Yeah. 90s. And the new Casey McQuiston that we talked about a few episodes
ago. Oh, yeah.
That one's set in the 90s too. Yeah.
Oh.
It is? They're in the 90s?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
90s grunge. Peak Nirvana.
okay maybe I'll go back and finish that book now because I lost interest part of the way through. I'm sorry. I tried and I really wanted to love it because she had the case files and she's looking for her uncle and like so much things are going on, but I was like, I get it, you work at a diner and you go there every day, your life kind of sucks right now, but like let's go on with it. Like I just felt like I didn't get it.
It's a magic diner. You have to keep reading.
I know. I gave up too quickly. I have a problem. Okay. The pandemic wants me to just read romance that starts right away and is unforgiving. Like, you know.
Well, if you want 90s vibes.
Yes. I know. I really do need to read it. Like, I'm just being a bad reader at this point. Like, it's just.
I'm so excited for it.
Okay. I guess. I'll go.
What did you read, Shelby?
So I got apocalyptic fiction. So I went with On Such a Full Sea by Chang Ray Lee. I actually read this for school back in the day, and it's a phenomenal book. It's apocalyptic fiction, but it doesn't really feel like apocalyptic fiction because society is still there in some form. Basically what happens is the world is dying and they don't really know what's happening, but they're unable to farm crops. It gets unlivable in cities. And so what happened was, I guess it happened like over in Asia first, and all of the towns and cities started dying, like all of their crops started dying, the air wasn't breathable. So there was a mass migration over into America. And so the story takes place or begins in a place called Bmore, which is basically Baltimore. So they've renamed some places. And there's been like this whole caste divide, basically. So everybody came in from I think the main character Fan, is her parents are from China. So they came in and they took over Bmore or Baltimore because it was already basically a dying town, and they came in and they set up like an agricultural system basically and started farming, and they do mostly fish. So Fan, the main character, is a diver. So she dives in the tanks and takes care of the fish, and she's really phenomenal at it. It actually reminds me, now that I'm thinking of it, of Fable, because she does the breathing, because she has to deep sea, like not deep sea, but she has to go underwater for long periods of time. So her and her boyfriend do this. And then one day something happens and her boyfriend is gone. And she has no idea where he's gone or any of that kind of stuff. But people never really leave their towns that they're in, because they're from where they're from, and this is where they live, this is what they do. And then basically, like, the white people are in these other towns where the food goes, where all of the good air goes, like all that kind of stuff. So there's a 100% a caste system. So she leaves, and she's like the first person to leave. And so she was told that her boyfriend had left, so technically like second person, but she leaves, and she goes on an adventure essentially, and kind of like finds herself as she's doing it, because she had a lot of questions of like why she was there, like what happened, and like all that kind of stuff. But it takes you on a real journey, like almost picture, it makes me think of like The Walking Dead, in the sense that they're like walking through Georgia. Baltimore's not in Georgia, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like down country roads, and like, there are still cars and stuff like that, but not as many people have them because there's no need to leave your town, right? So like, if they're in Baltimore, then they're only in Baltimore. Like, they have a mall of a type and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's no need to leave really. And it's dangerous because you don't know who's out there, basically. So she gets herself into like a bunch of different situations. There's one point where she ends up falling and like breaking her leg, and she gets taken in by these like mountain people, and she's like, what is going on here? Who are you? Like, it is completely completely degraded. Like, it's not great. But it has some really great mystery to it. Like, it is apocalyptic, but it's not like this is apocalyptic, everyone's dying. Like, it's like, we don't know what's happening. We're doing our best to kind of keep going. My theory, because they never do tell you, my theory is that all of the bees have died. And because there's like one moment, there's like one line in the book where they say like, oh, something about the last time I saw a bee. And I'm like, that's it. They can't pollinate. The bees are gone. But there's a moment because she does end up. Bees. Yeah, she does end up like in one of these more wealthier towns and starts living there. And she meets somebody who's of importance. But there's like this situation that happens that you're not expecting to, because it's an apocalyptic read, right? And expecting it to be that terrifying, but I was like, oh, we're in a mystery now. We're in a thriller. Okay. So I think it's really great because it is apocalyptic, but it's not like these are zombies. Like, it's not too much. And I know right now, like, I didn't want to pick a book that I would be like, ah, this is what I'm living right now. I wanted to pick something that it's still kind of fun and interesting, and is going to take you on a journey that you're not expecting. And one thing that's really amazing about this author is the way that they write. Like, the prose are just so phenomenal. It's written so beautifully. It's so easy to get sucked into. The audiobook is on Hoopla. Mm-hmm. That means you can put a hold. You don't need to put a hold on it. You can check it out at any point. And I listened to it as an audiobook, and it was phenomenal as an audiobook. It's phenomenal just to read. But if you're looking to get into apocalyptic fiction, but you're not sure if you want to like get into it, I would say definitely start with this one, because it was so good, and it just kind of pulled me right in and made me forget that it was almost apocalyptic in a sense. But it was really, really good.
But I think that's so valid, because I feel as though, I know we've made no secret that quite a few of us in this group, we like, for example, we love fantasy novels, right? And I feel like if somebody comes to the library and they're like, hey, I'm looking for something new, but I'm not really sure like how to jump in, I'm not going to hand them Game of Thrones, right? Because that's level 10. They're great books. They're great fantasy novels, but like, that's level 10. And I think there's something to be said for cross-genre fiction. And I know, I think we talked about this like in other episodes, but it's also interesting talking to other like readers about how you would classify a novel too. Because there's so many where like, oh, like I definitely classify this as a romance. And the other person would be like, oh, well, I definitely saw it as this or this. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's interesting that all of us read books in our selected genre that actually had at least one other aspect to it. Like, we all were like, oh yeah, this is this, but could also be, or had aspects of this something genre. Else. I think that's quite cool, because I feel like most books are going to be somewhat crossing over genre boundaries, because there is just so much to pull from.
Like, there's so much. I can say it's so valid, because especially if you're trying something new or you want to try something new, it's a really good way to try. But also, I think, like, heavily genred books, while they definitely appeal to a lot of people, I can't speak for others, but there are times where I call it genre burnout. Mm. And it's like, I can't read another YA dystopian novel, love triangle, you know, like, where they all bleed together after a while. And that's mm-hmm. not to say that it's not a good story, but I mean, there's like 3 or 4 books where, like, I mix up the cast of characters because it just follows the same arc, like, over and over again. And that's not a bad thing, but, you know, it is what it is. And I think a lot of different genres do that. But I also like a book that makes me question things a little bit. Like, Addie LaRue was an incredible story. Incredible. I literally sobbed for like an hour after it was finished and then made my poor partner sit there and listen to it while I told him how important it was. And he was like, that's nice. But it also, I feel like books like that, especially cross-genre books, for me anyway, sometimes they bring up really interesting questions. Like, Addie LaRue is, you know, what does it mean to have an impact on the world? And, you know, what do your relationships mean to you? And what does it mean to like make a difference, or to have people remember you? So I like to take away, like, sometimes I just want a story, right? A mindless good story, and I can put the book away and then that's done. And sometimes I want something that's going to make me think about it for the next couple of days. You know, not reevaluate my life, but, you know, ask myself a couple of questions. Should I be a muse for people? Like, those type of questions.
Well, I like books that, like, kind of turn the concept on its head too, right? Yeah. Like, I know right now, like, obviously a lot of us read romance, and I remember getting to a point in one book where I was like, oh, I know the story. Like, I know what's going to happen here. Mm-hmm. Like, I know this trope, and I felt comforted by it. But sometimes, like, you do get burnout because you're like, wow, great, another story that I'm going to get the same ending, just different names. And I recently read, and I think I talked about it on here, the Victoria Roth one. The Chosen Ones. Yeah. And I know I probably talked about it enough, but, like, it really did take, like, the superhero concept and put it 10 years after and see these kids who really were teenagers, like children, taken from their families, made to be superheroes. And then we're like, okay, cool. You defeated the bad guy. Good luck. And the main character is like, I can't, like, I'm not okay. And everybody else seems to, like, try and be okay. And I think the hard thing for her was that, she was also with, like, the perfect boy. She was, you know, like, they were the perfect couple, and he was okay. And she's like, I'm not okay. Like, I'm severely traumatized. Like, I can't, like, live my life like this. And I loved it because I was like, thank you for showing this other side of these people. Like, they're not one dimensional. They don't just continue on being superheroes. Like, you know, they are people who were traumatized by being children and fighting these bad guys. Like, I love that. Like, I love the idea of really thinking about it for a second and, like, you know, I don't know. I enjoyed that book quite a bit.
That actually kind of reminds me, I think it's called The Rest of Us Just Live Here. I haven't read this book, but it's apparently about, like, a school full of, like, chosen one stereotypes, but the book is about the kid who's, like, not the stereotype. And I'm like, that's funny. Like, I like that because you're completely like, oh yeah, they're all the chosen one, but I'd like this book to be about you. we're gonna flip this over a little bit.
No, that's, I think that's so fun because I feel like we forget, as, like, I forget anyway, that, like, that's almost a possibility. Like, I know I read as an escape, and I, you know, I like to go on an adventure. Like, I like a really good story, but there's this whole, like, running joke on, like, you know, social media and stuff, like, let's normalize real life reactions to crazy things that happen in books. Yeah. Right? So it's like, no, I want to see a character handle depression. Like, I want to see a character be like, I have PTSD.
Yeah.
And, you know, cause, like, real life isn't happily ever after. And sometimes it's nice to see, like, those reactions and people dealing with stuff normalized, you know, in that way, because it's almost like, cool, that's a little more real, that I can identify with, that I can vibe with. That
the very, how often do you
the yeah. yeah, how do you walk away from, that's exactly what I was thinking.
Yeah, like how you walk throw away? It into this really horrible situation and now you're traumatized forever.
Exactly.
And we're gonna do it again, actually.
You're gonna yeah, go and you're gonna do it for a second time. It's gonna be great for you. But yeah. I liked how Suzanne Collins, you know, at the end of that series, wasn't just like, and then they lived happily ever after.
It was they
like,
had,
and
they
then they dealt
struggled.
With some trauma and Katniss yeah. probably saw a therapist.
Yeah,
because then it like makes it okay for other people to be like, I'm not okay, and this person is seeing somebody. Mm-hmm. Like, as much as like we love a good read that's going to tell us like this person is living through this, but it's also good to show how to get through that trauma and how to mm-hmm. kind of mm-hmm. like get back into the rhythm of being. And I think, I know we talk a lot about these kinds of books, but they're just so important to like show you that other people feel this way. Yeah. And that mm-hmm. it's okay to reach out for help. Like, you don't need to deal with it on your own. And I think it's such an easy way to make it like a normal thing to see a therapist, you know,
especially this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially this year. We all need this.
Yeah. And also, just to plug again, the library has a lot of resources as well too. We've got 2-in-1 and we've got pretty great staff. So if you ever find yourself having a rough go, even if you need a book rec or you just need a number you can call if you need help, give us a shout.
Yeah. And we do have a program library. Coming up.
Yes.
Called Journey to Resilience. Sorry, Kylie.
No. I was going to bring that up. So yes,
yeah. Perfect. It's in association with the Canadian Mental Health Association, right?
Yeah.
This is a tough year for everyone. So if you need to hear other people's struggles and talk about your own, it would be a great safe space to do that.
Yeah. So we can provide you a good book for an escape or
yeah.
mental health resources.
We're here for you for anything you need.
Yay, library staff.
And I think it's really so important to have both. It's so important to read the books that just make you happy and just you're like, I'm comforted by the fact that I know this is going to have a happy ending. That's sometimes why I'll read YA.
Yeah.
Like, I know
yeah.
it's going to end happy. And then sometimes it's like, I need something real right now. I need to read something that is about the world that I live in and it's messy and it's, you know, it just makes you feel less alone to see other people go through struggles in navigating the world yeah. that we live in.
It's totally valid. There's something mm-hmm. to be said. And I know we talked about this, like, especially in February for Black History Month, but I think it's mm-hmm. a statement that can encompass just in general. It's really important to be able to see yourself or mm-hmm. a piece of yourself, like in books, media, regardless, if that means, you know, just everyday life occurrences too. And I think it's also important to, like, I think it's important to be able to read books that look at things a little bit more real, right? Like, I love mm-hmm. a good romance, but like, you've also got the Bromance Book Club, which kind of tells a story about like after they're happily ever after and now we're having marital issues and like what that looks like. So it's just, you know, you don't always have to read books like that, but it's nice to see real life played out on a page. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And all the books that we talk about in all of our podcasts, in case you guys don't know this, we do create a WPL suggest list on Biblio Commons. So you can always head over there. I think it's the episode number and name.
Yep.
And you can find literally every single book that we mention, even if it's just in passing, and all of our old ones as well. And then of course the Reader's Advisory team that Erin is on is also amazing at creating WPL suggest lists. So we always have tons and tons and tons of lists for you guys if you're looking for things on specific topics.
And if you don't want to go through a list, also WPL suggests, which is our Reader's Advisory team, which Reader's Advisory is just a really, really fancy word for saying we tell you what to read. Personalized lists for you as well. So, you know, if you're having a day where you want to read about reality or you want to have a day where you want to escape it, just fill out that form. We will create a personalized list for you with about 8 to 10 titles. So that's what we do, right? We're here to entertain you. So we're happy to help. We also do library to go kits for adults as well as kids, but I don't think a lot of people realize we do them for adults too. So if you don't want a list, you can find that on our website as well. And we'll probably, I usually put about 5 books in the bag. So you can just come pick up a bag of whatever you want. Just tell us what you want and we'll make it happen.
Yeah, you can say on the form what you're in the mood for. I love the, you know, I'm in the mood for something lighter or I'm looking for a more serious read. Cause like you do get in those moods. And so we'll help you find something that suits that.
And there's a comment section too. So if you just mm-hmm. want you know, write me a little story.
And if there's any books that you want us to read and review for you guys on this podcast, you can always send us an email. Mm-hmm. We have it linked in our bio. Or you can leave us a comment on YouTube as well. We see all of those before they get posted. So you can always recommend for us if you're thinking of a new one. We like suggestions.
We love suggestions.
Yes. We do.
That's what we're here for. Let's start a conversation. I think we're segueing into winding down.
Yes.
I think we are. All right. I'll hit us with an outro. All right. Awesome. So thank you so much, everyone, for listening today or watching if you're on our YouTube. Make sure that you follow us on our social media. And also you can subscribe to our YouTube channel to find out more about all of our virtual programs, also our collections. And everything, including our newsletter with programs, is on our website, wikilibrary.ca. Have a great day. We'll see you all soon.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.